The record here that we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, was during the years of what was known as the Savior's popularity. He was healing the sick, he was giving sight to the blind, and indeed many were listening to the message which he had proclaimed, and there were many who followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, whenever the work of God is going on, the old devil steps in, and we find that John the Baptist, he was a forerunner of Christ, and we find that there comes the death of John the Baptist. And then the Lord Jesus withdraws himself to a desert place. Now, not only does the Savior make his way to that place, but we find that the crowd of people were still anxious to come and hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 14 of chapter 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, because they followed him," verse 13, "they followed him on foot out of the cities." And so there was a desire to hear the Lord Jesus Christ and to witness the power of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus looked at that multitude, that actual fact came and followed him out of the cities, out into the desert place, we find that the Bible tells us in verse 14 that Jesus had compassion upon them and he healed their sick. But you know, whenever they had heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking unto them, because we find that not only, if we read this in Mark's Gospel, not only were people healed, not only were people satisfied with the food and the feeding of the 5,000, but Mark's Gospel tells us that the people were taught. In other words, the Lord Jesus spoke his word unto them. He took the opportunity amidst the healing and amidst the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He took the opportunity to preach and to bring the word, and he taught the people. And my friend, tonight, it's so important amidst everything else that we do not forget that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. And so there's a vital importance of preaching the word. That's what Paul said to Timothy before he left the scene of time. He said to young Timothy, his son in the faith, he said, "Timothy, preach the word. Keep preaching, Timothy. Preach in season, out of season, because the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine." Now we find that the Lord Jesus, in this passage of God's word, and we find that indeed not only did the Savior feed them spiritually in teaching them, not only did he heal their sick, but we find from verse number 15, when it was evening, his disciples came unto the Savior, and what they said was, "Savior, send the people away." You see, they've been listening all of this time. They've come a long way out into the desert. They've been listening to what you had to say, and there's those that have been healed. "But send the multitude away that they might buy victuals, because they're bound to be hungry." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ listened to the words of advice from his disciples, and then the Savior turned to them and he said, "Give ye them to eat." My, whenever one of them spoke up and said, but you know, Lord, you know, how can we give this crowd of people, because there were 5,000 men plus the women and the children, we couldn't give them all something to eat because we just do not have the food to do that. But the Savior gives a command, and let me tell you, with the command the Savior gives, there is always the enablement to fulfill the command. He never gives you a command, friend, that he doesn't give you the power to fulfill it. And so we find that Andrew, Peter's brother, came to say to the Lord Jesus, "You know, there's a little lad here, and he has got 5 loaves, and he has got 2 fishes. And you know, Jesus said, you bring them to me." You know, whenever the rest of the disciples heard, they said, "What is this among so many?" But you see, in the hand of the Savior, thank God, my friend, little as much when God is in it. And thank God he was able, with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he told the people to sit down in their rows and in their companies. And the Bible says everyone not only was fed, they were fully satisfied. For praise God, you'll always be satisfied in Christ. He'll always be your sufficiency. and there were 12 baskets left over, and the Lord Jesus told them to gather together the baskets, the food, and put them in the baskets because he didn't want the food wasted. The Savior doesn't waste anything. Let me tell you, sin wastes your life, but thank God Jesus gives you life, and he gives it more abundantly. Now, whenever this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 took place, the Lord Jesus knew that this crowd of people, they were so taken up with the miracles that they would want to make him king, and that he would lead them into rebellion against the Roman authorities that were in the land in that day. And so the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to leave. I want you to get into the ship, and I want you to go to the other side before me. Onto the other side. You see, the Lord knew that those disciples could easily have been caught up with the crowd and swayed by the crowd. And so the Lord Jesus Christ took them away from the scene. He sent them away because the Lord Jesus knew what was in the heart of the crowd. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent the disciples to the ship, and they entered into the ship and on the Sea of Galilee, and then the Lord Jesus sent the crowd away. And then the Lord Jesus went alone onto the top of the mountain to pray. He got alone with his Father. In actual fact, he was there for hours, alone with his Father, seeking the face of his Father, had that sweet communion with his Father. And the Bible tells us then that the disciples, they were on the Sea of Galilee. And something happened, because it says in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. A great storm arose. Some people say, how could it happen? Were they not in the center of God's will? Were the disciples not going at the Savior's command? And how could a storm come up whenever Jesus Christ had commanded them? Jesus was sending them into a storm. Let me tell you, my friend, whenever a man's saved, that does not mean that you're immune from trouble. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But don't forget the rest of the story. It says, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Thank God he gives you victory even in the midst of the storm. The Word of God tells us indeed that in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, says Jesus. I have overcome the world. You say, my friend, here was a great storm. Are they going to sink? No, they couldn't sink, and I'll tell you why. Jesus commanded his disciples to go before him onto the other side. In other words, the Lord knew the end of the story. They were going before him onto the other side. They were going to get safely to land. Glory to God when you're saved, friend. No matter how great the storms the devil brings upon you, or whatever the winds of afflictions or troubles or trials come upon you, glory to God, we have a safe landing. We're going to make it. We're going to get it through Christ safely onto the other side. In the midst of the storm, you say, listen, the Savior was up there on the top of the mountain. But the Bible tells us, my friend, when you read this passage of God's Word, you find that the Savior saw them there on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, it's dark, but the Savior saw them because the Savior was looking after them. And I don't care how dark the night is, friend. I don't care how difficult the journey is. Be of good cheer. The Savior is watching over his blood-bought people. Thank God he'll bring us safely through the storm, and he'll bring us safely home in the end. Yes, the night was dark. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus not only saw them, but then Jesus came on to them walking on the water. The disciples, they, whenever they saw this figure coming, my, listen, they thought it was a spirit, and they cried out with fear. But the Lord Jesus immediately calmed the troubled hearts. And my, he brought that fearfulness. And my, he calmed the storm of fear that was in their troubled hearts. And Jesus said unto them, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Not only do we have the coming of Jesus, but thank God we have the compassion of Jesus. And he speaks the word in season, just exactly the word they needed. He knew that they were fearful. And he said, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. Friend, I'll tell you this, no matter how dark the night of trials or troubles is, when Jesus is there, the Savior has promised his people, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As the wee hymn says, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Child of God, you'll never be alone. My, the old devil says, there's nobody cares. Thank God Jesus cares. There's nobody with you. Thank God Jesus is with you. If you're saved, thank God you'll never, ever be alone. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he spoke those words, Peter answered him and he said, Lord, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come. And friend, you notice the simplicity of that invitation. It's still the same tonight. What does Jesus say? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. And thank God, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That word of instruction, that word of invitation, thank God, it was the enablement to Peter. And the Bible tells us, when Jesus says, come, it says, verse 29, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise God, my friend. He was able to walk on the water to go to Jesus. Why? Because Christ commanded him. He wasn't mocking him. He wasn't sneering at him and saying, I want him to walk on the water and I want him to see him sink. No, friend. It says, Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then something happened. The Bible says in verse 30, he saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid and began to sink. Peter got his eyes off the Lord, friend. Yes, he was walking in the water to go to Jesus, but he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. Charles Alexander was singing at the school for the blind. At the end of his singing, he offered to sing another favorite. And a little boy put up his hand and he said, sir, Mr. Alexander, please sing Never Lose Sight of Jesus. Oh, my friend, that wee boy, his eyes were blind, but my, his heart was shining in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wee lad said, never lose sight of Christ. But sad to say, Peter, he saw the wind. He saw the waves that were lashing upon him. He took his eyes off Christ and he began to sink. My, you know, the old devil, maybe there's somebody listening to me right now and you're concerned about your soul. But the old devil's putting obstacles in your way. The devil says you couldn't come to Christ because, and points out perhaps something in your life, some sin in your life, and the devil says you couldn't come to Christ because of that. And the devil puts it as an obstacle in your way. I remember years ago I was preaching in a mission down at Ballymoney. A man was with me who came from Macrofelt. He came to the services with me. And God was speaking to that man. And during the meetings that took place for some 3 weeks, one night that man stepped out into the aisle and was walking to the inquiry room for me to lead him to Christ. He was walking through the door. I shook him by the hand. And he turned to me, stood away, standing at the door before he entered the inquiry room. He said, Mr. McCrae, what about the cigarettes? Because the old devil knew that he was bound and he was fettered by the cigarettes. And the old devil put it in his pathway. He says, you can't get saved because you'll never let them go. I want to tell you this, my friend. If the Lord is able to save your soul for all eternity, he's able to look after whatever the sin is that's bothering you now. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And the Bible says, Peter, as he was going down, he begins to sink and he cries, Lord, Lord, save me. I want you to think of some little things tonight in this passage of God's word. Very simple. First of all, notice his predicament. The Bible says here in verse number 30, and beginning to sink. That was his predicament. He was beginning to sink. He was about to perish. And my friend, let me tell you this, every second counted because if he delayed crying out, it would have been too late. God's word says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The old devil says, listen, maybe he'll even agree with you. Yes, what the preacher's saying, right? But put it off to tomorrow night. Put it off to another night. Put it off to next year. Let me tell you this, my friend. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You can't even boast of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day, what any day will bring forth. And the old devil says, tomorrow, another day, another opportunity, another meeting, another message. Then you can get saved, but not tonight. But my dear friend, the devil doesn't remind you that every second counts. To delay can be too late. Behold now, this is what God's word says. Now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Sinner, you're in danger. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed with guilt within. Oh, listen, my friend, listen. That's exactly the danger. You're sinking, you're sinking. You're in danger of your soul. You're traveling to eternity. There's not one of us know the moment, the day or the hour that when that call shall come for you to go to God's eternity. You know that it's deadly serious tonight. This is an opportunity God's given you. I can't promise you tonight when you go home, get right with God. I can't promise you tomorrow you can call on God. I can't promise you at the end of the mission you can get saved. God says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. His predicament, he was sinking. You know, he realized it, but tell me, do you? Do you realize the danger to your in, sinner? Do you realize that this could be the last gospel message that you will ever hear? Some months ago, my wife's nephew was, a grandnephew was coming home in Australia, was coming home on the motorbike. He was nearly home. Something happened. Something jumped out in front of him. And so he swerved to miss the animal that jumped out in front of him, and he hit a post. And friend, he was so close to home, but there he lay upon the ground and died. You know, the day he was buried was the day he was to be married. He was to be married the day, that very day that he was buried. His young wife-to-be did not stand beside her lover at the altar to take her vows, but she stood at the side of a coffin and saw her loved one lowered into Mother Earth, so close to home. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're so close. You're so close to salvation. You're almost there, but you're not saved. You're not saved. You're still in your sin, and you don't realize this could be the last night. This could be God's last call. The last invitation given to your soul could be given tonight. And you could be called out of God's eternity. That was the predicament. He was sinking. But he realized it. Tell me, do you? Do you realize that you're on the verge of eternity? Do you realize there's only a step between you and death? Do you realize, my friend, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment? Do you realize that after death and the judgment, there's hell for the unconverted? To die in your sin and where Christ is, you'll never be. That was the predicament. But notice, secondly, notice his perception. Because it says here in verse 30, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, Lord, save me. Notice his perception, friend. He didn't call back to his companions in the boat. he called upon the Lord. The one that he was so near, friend. The one that he was coming to. But then he took his eyes of the Lord. And maybe there's someone, you've been so close. Maybe there'd be nights you've sat in gospel meetings and you were so close to salvation. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You're almost there. But then the devil stepped in. Put something in your path, friend. Just like Peter, he was almost there to Christ. But then he took his eyes and he heard the winds and he saw the lashing of the waves. And he caught up on them and took his eyes of Christ. But thank God, here in the midst of his need, he perceives that there's only one that can help him. Yes, Jesus was near. Thank God he believed that Jesus was able to help him. He believed that Jesus was willing to help him. And he cried out, Lord, for thank God the ability of Christ was more than equal to the demands of the moment. On January the 1st, 1865, Abraham Lincoln freed 3 million slaves. You see, he was the president. He had the authority to do so. And I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus is the only one that has the authority to change your soul's destiny. He's the only one that can take you as you're sinking down, even into hell itself. Thank God, before you go to a last eternity, he's a God, the Bible says, who's ready to pardon. Hallelujah. He's ready to save. He's ready to pardon your soul. And Peter perceived, there's nobody else can help me. Nobody else but the Lord. Tell me this, my friend. What are you relying upon? Traveling to God's eternity? Knowing some of these days you'll leave the scene of time and go out into God's eternity, never to return again. But never, my friend, to stop existing. Because remember, after this, you meet God. It is appointed unto man once to die. Yes, in Amos, prepare to meet thy God, for meet God you must, and meet God you will. Tell me, what are you relying upon for that day of meeting with God? Maybe here tonight you're relying upon your sacraments. Maybe you're relying that you're a good church member. You've been baptized as a child. Maybe confirmed as a young person. Maybe you sit at the Lord's table. Let me tell you, dear friend, if you're not saved, that's not the place for you at the Lord's table. You're eating and drinking damnation and judgment to yourself. Stay away from it. It's for the Lord's people. And it's only for the Lord's people. And here we find that there are those today and they're relying upon their churchianity to get them to heaven. Maybe you're relying upon a preacher. You say, you know, my minister, I believe that he'll help me at the end. He's all that I need. I have listened to him. I've been good, tender. I've listened to everything he has to say. And you're relying upon the preacher to get you into heaven. Friend, listen. I read that book. Tell me this. Where does it say the preacher gets you through the pearly gates? Where does it say the preacher's the way to heaven? Jesus says, Jesus, am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe you're relying upon good works. Preacher, I try the best I can. Let me tell you, the best you can, my friend. The Bible says you're born in sin and you're shaping in iniquity, and the best you can is the best of a sinner. But you're still a sinner. And maybe you can stand out in this community and my people revere you because you're not down in the gutter of sin and you're walking the clean side of the road. But remember this, you're still going to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, his perception. He realized that only Jesus was the answer, and he cried, Lord, Lord, tell me, will you cry out that tonight? Will you cry out unto the Lord tonight? Or are you just going to go on in your sin? Notice thirdly, notice his plea. He says, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Notice he didn't say, Lord, help me. Because people say, well, listen, the Lord can help me to save myself. No, my friend, he didn't say, Lord, help me. He said, Lord, save me. Save me. That's what he needed. He needed saved. He needed saved from a watery grave. He needed saved from death. Sinner, you say to me, what do I need saved from? I'll tell you. You need saved from sin. The Word of God says there's no difference. For all have sinned. And I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care what your religious background is. I don't care where you hang your hat on a Sunday, friend. As far as your soul is concerned, remember this. God says there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sin separates between you and God. And in your sin you'll perish. That for all eternity. He cried, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Let me tell you, friend, that was a simple prayer. That was a short prayer. But praise God, it was a saving prayer. It was exactly what he needed. He needed to be saved. He had no time to deliberate any further. He didn't give a theological treatise or lecture. No, the only matter that counted, that was that he was saved. That he was saved. That he was delivered. We were preaching last night in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the next verse says this, for God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world. He didn't need to send Jesus to condemn the world, because in their sin they were already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. That's what he wants to do. He wants to save you, friend. He wants to save you from your sin. Your sin. The Bible tells us whenever the seed was sown and was put upon the stony ground. In Luke's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 12 it says, those by the wayside are those that hear. Then cometh the devil. He taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Boy, the devil doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be saved. He snatches away the word. He doesn't want you to think about it. My friend, he wants somebody to start a conversation in the car. Talk about something else. Not about your soul salvation. Not about your sin. Not about your eternity. Not about your destiny. Not about your death or your day of judgment. No, 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 friend. The devil wants them to talk about something else, lest they be saved. You see, the devil doesn't want you to be saved. And my friend, you go on as a sinner. You're on the devil's side because he doesn't want you to be saved. He wants to keep you from being saved. But Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Save me. You know, the Philippian jailer, when he realized the danger he was in, he cried out to Paul and Silas. He said, sirs, what must I do? Tell me, what must I do to be saved? Tell me how to be saved. You know what they said to him? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the way. Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, and the shedding of his precious blood, and the purchasing of eternal life for sinners like you and like me. And praise God, they said, believe on the Lord. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't trust the church. Don't trust the preacher. Don't trust works. Don't trust your baptism. Don't trust your sacraments, friend. Trust Christ, for Christ alone is the answer. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. You need to be saved from the power of sin that binds you. Because you're bound by sin. That's why you're not saved tonight. You're bound by your sin. But thank God, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. He can break the power of cancel sin. He can set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Hallelujah. His blood avails for sinners like me. Oh, friend, I've good news tonight. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, from the power of sin that binds you, from the pollution of sin that stains you. My sin's a dirty thing, friend. And if you could only see the dirt of your soul, then you'd run to Christ for cleansing. That's what the psalmist cried. He says, wash me, oh, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You realize it. You realize your sin tonight. And then the penalty awaits you, because the wages of your sin is death. Some years ago, an old man, a poor, untidy man, came to a chemist. And he came in and he said to the chemist, he says, can you give me something for a bad cold? And the chemist says, have you brought a prescription with you? And the man answered, no, I ain't got no prescription with me, sir. I just brought my cold with me to be cured. And now, you know, many sinners are trying to bring their prescriptions to God. But I want to tell you, your prescription won't work. It's God's salvation. Lord, save me. That's his cry tonight. That's the plea that he made. And then lastly, notice his preservation. For it says there in that passage of God's word, and it says immediately. Immediately, praise God, immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand, verse 31, and caught him. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Thank God Jesus saved him. Oh, the pity. Oh, the power of the Savior. Notice immediately. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I want you to teach a to be taught a lesson, Peter. I want you to get a good draught of that water in your mouth. And my, you'll be on the verge of just about drowning. And then I'll do something. No, it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. And the moment you realize you're a sinner and you call upon the Lord to save you, thank God immediately he'll save you. Immediately. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, thank God his prayer was heard. But glory to God, his prayer was answered. His prayer was answered. And the Lord reached forth his hand and he saved him. Oh, let me ask you tonight, are you saved? Thank God if you call tonight. Jesus will stretch forth his nail-pierced hand and take a hold of you. He'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish, neither shall any pluck you out of his hand. Some years ago, an old Welsh preacher, a godly man, began a sermon. He leaned over the pulpit and he said with a solemn air, he says, friends, I have a question to ask you tonight, and I can't answer it. He says, I have a question to ask you tonight, but you can't answer it. And if an angel from heaven were here, he could not answer it. And if a demon from hell was here, he could not answer it. And the devil himself cannot answer it. Every eye fixed upon the preacher. And then he proceeded with a question. He said, the question is this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And friend, the answer is this. You won't. You won't. You'll never escape. There is no way of escape if you neglect God's so great salvation. How shall we escape? Tell me the way to escape. There is no answer, friend. For there is no escape if you neglect so great salvation. Thank God Peter cried with all his heart. And he said a simple cry. He said, Lord, Lord, save me. And praise God, Jesus did. You know, you're sitting in the darkness of that car tonight. You can bow your head and call upon the Lord. Lord, save me. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to take your place as a sinner, friend. You've got to confess your sin, that you're a sinner before God. and see that there's only one answer for your sin, and that's the Lord Jesus. And the only power that can cleanse you from it, it's the power of the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's not a sin too deep. Thank God, but the blood of Jesus can reach. There's not a sin too dark, but praise God, the blood of Jesus can cleanse. And he cried, Lord, save me. Take God at his word tonight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, just like Peter, shall be saved. Thank God if you call tonight. He does the work of salvation. The gift of God. Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other hope. No other plea. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God. I come. O Lamb of God, I come as a sinner. I come to thee as the only Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from my sin. In your precious blood. Take a hold of my life. I repent of my sin. I turn from it in the name of Jesus. And I claim the power of the Holy Spirit to give me power to live as your child ought to live, to glorify thy name. Have you called? Thank God immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand, the loving Christ, and he caught him. And you know, they walked together back to the boat. The wind was still blowing. And the waves were still lashing. And it wasn't until they entered into the boat, having walked through the storm, Peter was now safe walking on the water. Why? He was walking with Jesus. And whenever they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Thank God he can still a storm in your soul tonight. He can save you for all eternity. Will you come? Will you come now? May God give you grace.